أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد. Welcome. MashaAllah, I appreciate it. Good to see you all, alhamdulillah. Before we're starting just a couple of minutes late. We have a guest lecture right now in our masjid, mashaAllah. It's a very beautiful lecture he was giving, and so I wanted to take advantage of that, mashaAllah. So welcome to the new class that we're starting this week, which is it's entitled Islam 101, which means that basically we're going to be trying to go over just some very basic Islamic concepts. I know that the majority of people, many people have come to, mashaAllah, this website and these classes, that they are still, you know, new Muslims, and so we try, alhamdulillah, to, do what we can to assist you in your journey, your long journey of learning Islam, a journey that we are all still riding upon, alhamdulillah. Just before we start, you guys kind of piqued my interest in something yesterday. I am just kind of curious as to ask you all a question, if it is okay. If everybody would please just type in where they are living, where they're listening from, what I mean is city and state or country if you're not in the United States, and if you're a convert or not, I would like to know this, inshallah. Also, give me an idea as to actually who is listening to that. That's the good, mashallah. Quran was Sunnah, mashallah. I went to Hajj last year and met some very, very, very wonderful people, mashallah, from Berlin or from Germany in general that were with us in the Hajj group. Some wonderful, wonderful Muslims, mashallah. Yeah, some very beautiful people. Yes, mashallah, it seems that the diff was a very big community. There was one guy in particular, I still kind of keep in contact with him every now and again. Young guy, mashallah, very, 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 very dedicated, wonderful Muslim brother. I really loved him very much for the sake of Allah. He was a convert Muslim from Germany. European could look, mashallah. He was such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful brother, mashallah. You know, his name is I'm Abdullah, and he is mashallah, very, very beautiful fellow. I'm not sure what city he was living in, though. But interesting, mashallah. I'm just kind of interested to know where you guys are all, dialing in from and where you're listening, mashallah. It's amazing, mashallah. We don't want to get too out of control, though. We just wanted to get an idea, mashallah, as to where everybody is, and I appreciate it. So it gives me ideas to who's listening as well. There's a lot of people in the room who are not. Inshallah, we have to make some morning lectures, inshallah, for our European counterparts, inshallah, so that they can benefit, inshallah, as well. But JazakAllah khair, I appreciate it. Also, give me, like I said, an idea as to who's listening, because we have a lot of people in the room, but sometimes people don't answer, and I don't know whether or not people are, not paying attention or what. So, mashallah, I appreciate it. Okay. Well, as I said initially, that I do teach some students here in the University of South Carolina, and we had a class which was called 101, Islam 101, and I was trying to do this online for them we're taking a little too much time to move in and out of the classroom. It was a little difficult, especially in Ramadan, with the focus we want to have and on using our time as wisely as possible. So I don't think that any of them are have come to the class tonight, unfortunately. And so, you know, I am. I had originally planned to speak about love of Allah, but then I do have this prepared. I also have a tafsir that we can discuss as well. There's a lot of sisters in here, mashallah, and the tafsir is of some part of Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah or chapter of the Quran, which is the chapter concerning women. And so I give you all the choice in the matter. If you would prefer to listen to some tafsir or commentary on the Quran, inshallah, on that subject, or if you would like to hear about Allah. And in any case, if we have enough time, we can always do the other lecture after the first, if we have time, inshallah. So do you all have a preference? Here we have two votes for tafsir and one for love of Allah. Any other votes on the subject? I know you guys, mashallah, you're all very, very kind. I know that you would don't mind either way, but if you have a preference, like I said, if you don't, that's fine. Inshallah, both are good. Nikki, since you're the new Muslim, why don't you tell us what you think? We always give preference to the new Muslims, mashallah. I like to give them the honor. Would you like to listen to commentary on the Quran, or would you like to listen to something concerning, you know, the relationship that we should have with Allah? Okay, how about this? The tafsir that I'm going to do, inshallah, the commentary is brief, and so, inshallah, we'll try to do both. The reason I like to do tafsir specifically in this month of Ramadan is because, of course, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran, and although there are many, many other important things, of course, that we study in Islam, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran, and it behooves us much to focus on the Quran. So inshallah, let me try to do the tafsir quickly. You know, just it's something I think inshallah, hopefully that everybody can benefit from here. And then inshallah, after that we try to give a summarized or abridged version of what I wanted to speak about with regard to the relationship with Allah, and it is accessible to everybody. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد. We first always begin in a speech the way that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم began and the way that he advised his companions to begin, by the praise of Allah, by praising Him, and by seeking His mercy and His assistance and His forgiveness. So seeking refuge in Him from the evil of our actions and the evil of our souls. Truly, whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomever Allah allows to stray, no one can guide. And I testify that there is surely nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, alone with our Father, and Muhammad is His messenger and His servant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To proceed. As we were saying, something which, mashallah, we should focus on always, is that in the month of Ramadan, Allah had sent down the Quran. And even though there have been many great, great scholars, alhamdulillah, who have been sent to us by Allah to clarify this religion and to comment on it, no matter who or what they studied, everybody put away their books of hadith or aqidah or whatever during the month of Ramadan so that they might ponder upon the Quran and recite it as much as possible. And so we should definitely follow their way, the way of the predecessors or the people that came before us who preceded us in righteousness and in faith, and ponder much upon this book. This is the month of the Quran, so let us make sure that we take advantage of the time. So, on this note, inshallah, I would like to speak about the tafsir of one of the verses in Surah An-Nisa. Actually, two of them, I'm sorry. And so, as I said, it will be very brief, but there are two very, very heavy verses, and there's much that can be said about them and much that we can think about. The verse that we will begin with is one that many of you probably know, and others will learn to know. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. And this means, inshallah, men are the maintainers of women. Why? Because, yes, it's verse number 34. Thank you, sister. Because Allah has favored one above the other. Okay? Now this verse, we're even just beginning it, we're not even getting so deep into it in this tafsir, causes a lot of problems. Okay? A lot of problems for women specifically. Who are thinking about Islam and wanting to understand their role in this world. So they see here that God is saying, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's saying that men have been, you know, made to be the maintainers and they take care of women. And the reason for that is because Allah has preferred one over the other. So we begin the tafsir by asking a very important question. In what has Allah preferred men over women? Because here Allah is saying that He has preferred men over women. Now, is this a general statement that He preferred them, that He preferred men over women in all aspects? Or did He prefer them in one aspect, or two aspects, or certain aspects, or what? Umar Abdul says that He preferred men in spending money. Who else has an idea or some knowledge on the subject? Physical strength, responsibility, prophethood, leaders. Okay. Give me just 1 second. Okay, I just wanted to get something. So we have a lot of different ideas here. What I wanted to do is I wanted to get the Quran out so that I could, so those of you that have a Quran with them, that they can maybe check and follow along with what we're saying. So as Sister Abdullah, she pointed out very nicely, that the verse is number 34. Okay, and it actually is very clear, and the reason I like to ask this question is because this will demonstrate to all of us, inshallah, at the end of the explanation, is the importance of us going back to the Quran and understanding it. What chapter number 4, and the verses number 34. And so this will demonstrate to us the importance of going back to the book and remembering and understanding it, because truly it is the word of Allah. It is the word of Allah. okay? And you're telling me now, the songs that we have come to memorize, and the things that we memorize from school, and, you know, things that we, you know, spend our time with and fill our minds with, and this is the word of that. This is the word of Allah. This is His message to you. And we need to understand it. We need to really reflect upon it. Okay, because it will make things clear. It will make things very clear for you. It will show you the reality. Okay? So the issue here says that men are the maintainers of women because Allah has preferred one over the other or has made one to excel over the other, and because they spend to support them from their means. Okay, so what is being said here that they spend to support them from their means is the clarification. Okay? It's very, very clear. Why, in what aspect Allah has preferred one over the other, okay? And unfortunately, none of you really got the answer really right. The answer of where He preferred them, okay, is in the inheritance, correct? Because the man gets what number of times what the woman gets. Exactly. So men get two times what any woman gets in the inheritance. And the reason that they get this, okay, this is the preference here, okay, because Allah has preferred one over the other in inheritance. Okay, so the inheritance of the man is twice that of the woman. Okay? But is it so that he can go out and buy cigars and you know, nice cars and go out and, you know, go out with his friends? Is that why? Why did he get this extra? Why did he get this privilege? Why did he get this preference? Why did the man get the preference over the woman in this case? Exactly. To take care of the family. This is, we go back to the beginning of the verse now. Okay? So you see how tafsir is. This is how the commentary of the Quran works. Okay? You can make commentary of the Quran from the Quran. And in fact, much of the commentary of the Quran, if you want to look at the science of the commentary of tafsir, the Quran oftentimes explains itself. And in the other cases, usually the hadith will explain. So between the hadith and the Quran, you can make tafsir of the Quran. And in many cases, the Quran itself will explain itself to you, if we think. So the preference here, okay, although people, when they read this verse, okay, so many a Muslim woman, you know, let's not think about the non-Muslim woman for a moment, many a Muslim woman will read this verse and say, why? Why does Allah prefer them? Why does Allah not like women? What's wrong with us? What's wrong? Why are we so, you know, so they take on this attitude, this feminist attitude that the Quran and Islam is a chauvinistic religion, and this, of course, leads them astray. Because when you start thinking that Allah is unjust, you are on the road to destruction. Okay? So we're all good on that. So we understand now that the preference here, it's not that Allah loved men more than women, but in fact that He preferred them in the aspects of inheritance so that they may do their job of maintaining the women, which means taking care of them. The responsibility of taking care of the family. Okay? And what is that responsibility? Not sure, I think everybody should know the answer to this question. A man is responsible for his wife in what way? Okay, one aspect is her deen, correct? To teach her. Although in many cases, you have some women who need to teach their husbands. But give me some specifics. What kind of things do you have to provide? Okay, so you have to provide shelter, some kind of house. Healthcare these days, yes. Clothing, food. All these things, mashallah. So you guys got the idea. Okay? So all these things that you mentioned, okay, they're all part of what he has to do. Okay? And Allah says also in the Quran, you know, that that you have to, you know, deal with your wives. Ibn Ma'ruf, okay? And Ma'ruf in this case is translate. There's a very difficult word to translate, okay? Because ma'ruf means everything good. Everything which is known to be good, you need to be giving to your wife. Okay? So everything that you guys mentioned just now, okay, is known to be good in these days. Okay? This is all goodness. So not only do we have to give the food and the shelter and the clothing. These days, healthcare is a big issue, so healthcare is included. We also have to get kindness and patience and gentleness. All these things are aspects which are responsible, he's responsible for. Okay? Now, I want to ask you guys another question now. I'm going to delve more into your personal life here, okay? So forgive me. How many people in this room are self-employed? You own your own business. You don't have a boss. Nobody, you're the king of your domain, or queen of your domain. Nobody has to worry about. How many people in here? No, someone who's just self-employed alone. No combinations. Anybody? Aisha, you are self-employed? You guys all run away, or I will take the silence to mean that nobody in this room is self-employed. Everybody's got a boss. Is that correct? Okay. Here's a question for you. How many people in here think, even if you had a job, let's say right now you may be self-employed today, but let's say, you know, most people have had a job somewhere in terms of their life that they had to work under someone, okay? How many people in here ever thought, even just once, I can do it better? My boss does not know what he's doing or what she's doing. They are clueless. They're confused. They don't know it, but I do. I know how I can do it. I know how I can run this business and make it better. Isn't this something that everybody has thought at one time or another? The question here is, for those people who have ever had a job, how many times or has the thought ever crossed your mind that, you know, I can do it better than my boss? I know more than this person does in this area or this way, and I can do it better. Whether you're older, younger, more educated, less educated, doesn't matter. Does not the thought cross your mind possibly on a daily basis? This guy or this girl is lost, they don't know, they're running a business into the ground, but I can do it better. So let me ask you, how many people have actually, you know, acted upon that? How many people have actually gone to their boss and said, hey, you know what? You're a meathead. You're stupid. You don't know what you're doing. I'm just going to take control of the business, okay? Why don't you go and sit down at my desk and, you know, do my job, and I'm going to run the show from now on, okay? Why not? Exactly. You're going to lose your job. That's why you're not concerned here, okay, about the business. You're concerned about your paycheck, right? You're concerned about getting your paycheck at the end of the week, right? Isn't that not what you're worried about? So you will do what you are asked within terms of within the limits of reason, of course. Okay, you will do what you are asked in your job because you are an employee and he has the job of your boss. And you will do what you are asked so you can get, what, $100 at the end of the week, $500, some really, you know, really wealthy people, they get $2,000 at the end of the week, whatever you get, Deutschmark, yen, you know, British pounds, whatever it is, okay, you need to get paid. Is that not right? And that's why you're willing to sometimes be humiliated, to sometimes do things that you know, the guy knows that you know how to do better than that, right? Give me 1 second, please. Okay, I'm back. Sorry. So we were talking about your boss and the fact that you want the paycheck at the end of the week, and you're willing to do pretty much whatever he asks you to do within the limits of reason, okay? Of course, you're not going to break the law with him, although many people do. You know, this is true, okay? Many people are willing to break the law, you know, to continue in their employment so they can get, you know, easily, you know, 500, 1,000, whatever it is at the end of the week, right? If I'm wrong in any of this and you have a completely unique experience, please let me know. Okay. So, MashaAllah, yeah, I commend you for that, Aisha. This is very good. You did something that many people have a very hard time to do. Allah bless you, inshallah, and guide you even more. So, what is the point of this? Why are we talking about jobs and boss and paychecks and all of this? Okay? The reason I'm talking about it here is twofold. The issue here is that you think you know what you're doing more than your boss does, okay? Everybody thinks they know more than the imam. Everybody says, what's the imam? What's the big deal? You get up every Friday, you know, talk a little bit, you give a little lecture, and what? You have an office, you play on the computer, you answer some questions, you know, you lead the prayers 5 times a day. So what? What's the big deal? Right? So everybody thinks, in terms of their leadership, whether it be their boss, their imam, their whatever, is that I can do it better, okay? But the reality is we're all willing to follow, okay, when it comes to money, specifically. When it comes to anything else, you complain and you're ungrateful, and this is the nature of the human being, all right? Why I'm saying this now is that it makes me wonder why women or men are willing to go and put up with a lot of crap, with a lot of bad things, with a lot of humiliation, and a lot of haram, and a lot of subjugation, and things that you don't understand. Your boss tells you to do something, you just don't know why he wants you to do it. But you're going to do it. Okay? So you can get a little bit of money at the end of the week that you can give to someone else, which is paying off your bills. And when Allah Azza wa Jal, He asks you, He commands you to obey your husband, He didn't tell you that your husband, he has to be smarter than you. He didn't tell you he has to be right all the time. He didn't say any of these things. He said you have to obey your husband as long as he commands you with what? As long as he commands you with what? Exactly. He must command you with that which is permissible, with the halal. Okay? With the Quran and Sunnah. Exactly, Amr. When he starts asking you to do things which are not part of the Quran and Sunnah, not part of Islam, then at that point in time, you have no obligation to listen to him. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. Okay, that there is no obedience to the created when it comes to disobeying the Creator. So you are asked to obey this man, okay, for better or for worse, as long as he's on the permissible matters. The man can be dumber than you, he can be less intelligent, he can be very impatient, he can be a lot of things, okay? But you know what? At the end of the day, this guy is supposed to go out and struggle on the streets and work and get humiliated, just like you understand with the boss and things like that, and do things he doesn't understand, do things he doesn't want to do, so he can make some money and come home and spend it on you. So there should be a level of gratitude here to the husband for the effort that he's making for you, and there should be a level of gratitude to Allah for making your life easier in that regard. Now, why I keep coming up with this word gratitude right now? It's a very important reason. Because the Prophet, he said that he saw the hellfire, and he saw that in the hellfire, Khairiyah, we'll get to that question, inshallah, that's a good question, a valid question, but we'll get to it, inshallah. The Prophet, he said that Allah gave him opportunity to see the hellfire, and he found that the majority of the people in the hellfire were who? The Jews? Women, right. Women were the majority of people in the hellfire. And it's not because women are the majority of people in the world, okay, but for specific reasons. And one of those reasons was ingratitude. Ingratitude, okay? And the Prophet even said, in general, okay, and I want you to understand this, these hadith here, these hadith are not bashing women, they're not putting down women, but they're talking about certain women, okay? Is that a man will do many good things to his wife, and then he'll make one mistake, and then she will say what? She will say, I never saw anything good from you. 90% of what he does is good. He fails because he is a human being, and 10% of the matters, he gets angry a little bit, maybe he's a little impatient, maybe this, maybe that. Yes, thank you, Ramapa. And because of that 10%, she will say to him, what? She will say, I never saw anything good from you. So she forgot all those good things, all the efforts that guy goes out. He goes out in the rain, in the snow, in the hot weather, in the cold weather. And he works hard, and he brings that money home, and he spends that money not on himself, but to buy food for his family, and to buy clothes for his family, and to buy suitable housing for his family, and take care of them when they're sick. Take care of them when they're healthy, make sure that they have entertainment. Nakirat al-Ashr means, you know, that they are ungrateful, you know, to those that, you know, maintain them. You see what's happening here, you see the point, you see where we're leading here, okay? Is that why I ask you now, I ask you, many of you, mashallah, in the room today are women, and many of you appear to have jobs, or had a job at some point in time. Why is it okay to accept doing things that you don't understand, listening to some guy that doesn't know more than you, or in fact he's wrong sometimes, or many times, and going through a lot of loops and hoops and jumping and this and that, so at the end of the week you get your $500, or whatever, to what are the goals to work for the dunya, for the worldly life, for material purposes. So when Allah promises you Jannah, when He promises you the paradise, which is eternal, no bills to pay, no troubles therein, an eternity of whatever you desire, an eternity of blessing and fun and enjoyment upon enjoyment upon enjoyment. This is what Allah has promised you. As He promised to the women, for doing what? For doing the exact same thing. But you're willing to do it for $500, and you're not willing to do it for Jannah. Okay, because Allah here is saying, who is your boss? Who is your boss in this worldly life? For 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever time you're married, who is your boss? Your husband. Your husband is the boss. Not because he's better than you, not because he's smarter than you, not because he has this or he has that, but because Allah said so. That's it. What else do you need to know? Your boss tells you to go and make 500 copies of this piece of paper. Do you ask him why? Do you ask him to give you a thesis on why? You don't ask him why. Excuse me one second. If you all, I'm sorry to break the lecture like this in half, but just give me a few minutes. If someone calls for the message, they have a problem, I need to address it briefly. It just takes me 5 or 10 minutes, inshallah, and so I hope inshallah you can stay. But think about that for a moment. Ponder about this idea for a moment. Why is it that we're willing to take all this, you know, all these kind of silly orders and work under these silly people, some of them who are kuffar? Okay, on top of that, you're willing to work under the disbelievers and obey them, and your Muslim husband, you deny him and you want to be ungrateful to him, even though Allah promised you Jannah if you are able to obey him. So let's think about that for a moment and see why are we doing that? Who is deceiving us in this matter? JazakAllah khair. I'll be back as soon as I can. So, just ended my lecture, I think. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Forgive me for that. I tell you, for the sisters, you should listen to this, subhanAllah. It's, you know, you don't just have to be patient with your husband, subhanAllah. Everybody's got to be patient with everybody, subhanAllah. Problems always occurring, Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. So forgive me for that. There's just some ridiculous situation happening at the masjid that needs to be addressed. So forgive me. So, you guys, inshallah, and I see, inshallah, you were thinking about the question I asked you. And yes, is this not the situation? How many of us, how many of the women, they don't see things this way? And why? Why is it that way? Is the shaitan out there? Shaitan is out there to deceive you. He is out there to make reality, and this is what reality is, what we're talking about right now. He's out there to distort your reality. So what are you going to say? You're going to say, well, he's stupid. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, if I was in his position, this is what I would do. This is what I would do. You know, he doesn't know how to work. He doesn't know how to do this. You know, he doesn't know how to run his business. He doesn't know how to run his job. He doesn't know how to do this. He doesn't know how to do that. You know, he's just useless. He's pathetic. He's good for nothing. This good for nothing, useless, pathetic, you know, poor soul is the one who will go out every single day for you by Allah's command. And guess what? Yes, of course, in the marriage, the husband definitely has that. Wallahi, he has that. But let me talk to you about something different, okay? That's another question to ask you. A lot of questions I want to ask you guys today. Okay, thank you, inshallah. Let me know if this is better. Right now, if I ask you, who in this room, right now, he would like to have, your choice. You can have either one, a Mercedes or a mansion, whichever one, okay? Who would say no? MashaAllah, Muslim, she's going for the home run there, MashaAllah. The men always want the mansion, the women want the cars, because of the cleaning issue. Isn't that funny? I'll tell you what you have to do to get it, but I want to know right now who wants it first. MashaAllah. Oh, Amina, you're asking too many questions. It would be simple. I'm not going to play a trick on you, I promise. No catch. Just tell me what you like. All right. So everybody decided that they want one thing or the other. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you now how you can get it. Okay? You can get it one of two ways. Okay? There's two ways, path A and path B. That's what we're going to call it. Path A and path B to get your desired object, whatever it is. Okay? Either you can... let's see here. Path A is going to be for you to walk 1 mile. And in that 1 mile, you can wear the most comfortable shoes that you have, and you don't have to carry any load. You can do it whenever you'd like. You can pick the nicest time of the day. You can carry a bottle of water with you. You can stop and rest as many times as you like. So all you have to do is walk 1 mile. That's path A. Everybody understand path A now? Okay. Path B, okay. All right. Is that you have to lead. I know most of you here probably have never done any shepherding work, but path B, okay, is that you have to lead a group of sheep, okay, 5 sheep, on a trek of 10 miles through the mountains, and you will not be wearing your comfortable Asics or New Balance shoes, but you'll be wearing some probably, torn sandals, and you'll be responsible for these 5 sheep, and you'll be walking through some very, very difficult terrain and cold weather. You'll be carrying a heavy load on your back, and you will not get your object of desire, in this case, unless you arrive with your 5 sheep at the end of this 10-mile hike through the mountains. Which path do you want, path A or path B? Same reward. No difference in the reward. You asked for a car, you asked for a house, whatever it is. It's going to be the same house, same car. Whichever path you take. Same reward. Of course, path A. What kind of idiot would select path B, right? I'll tell you what kind of idiot would select path B. The idiot that selects path B is called mankind. Human beings. Okay? Look in Surah Al-Ahzab. Surah Ahzab is the chapter or surah number 33, very end of Surah Al-Ahzab. Okay? Marching on with our concept here of tafsir or commentary in the Quran, what does Allah say? Allah says that He offered the trust, an amana, which ayah, I think it's 70 something. I would look in the Quran right now, 1 second. Okay, well, Allah says, إنا أردنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها. It's kind of strange. I don't know why it would be 23 years. Okay. وأشفقنا منها وحمدها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهودا. Alright, so what does this mean? It means truly we did offer the trust, which is the trust in this case is what? Moral responsibility. The ability to choose. Choice. That critical word, right? That we all want so bad. Choice. Choice was offered. Allah offered it. Okay? To the heavens and the earth and the mountains. But they said, no way. No way. So the mountains and the heavens, and the sky, I'm saying, and the earth, all of them were offered the trust. Offered the ability to choose. And they said, no. What did they prefer? Okay, so they didn't choose choice. They didn't choose free will. What did they take? What was the other option? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Of course, they choose not to take it. Not taking it means what? What do they give instead? A wide range of answers here. The hard way, the easy way, and fitna. Okay, I repeat the question, inshallah. The heavens and the earth and the mountains were given the opportunity to have free will and choice. And they said, no, we will not take it. By saying no, that they will not take it, what did that mean? What are they doing then? When you go to the mountains, when you walk on the earth, there you go. That's what they did. They said, we're going to obey Allah. We don't want to have any choice in the matter. We are going to obey Allah. That's it. We don't want to have the option or the opportunity to disobey Him. Just like the angels. The angels are told, do this, they do it. They don't think about it. They don't say why. They don't say if. They just do it. Allah says to the mountains, have an earthquake or make an earthquake or spout lava. Or be still, and it does it. It doesn't ask, it doesn't question, it doesn't say tomorrow, it doesn't say I don't feel like it. It says, okay, it does it. They have no desire in them whatsoever to disobey Allah. So this is what they selected. They selected no choice, except that which Allah commanded them. But who was the idiot, the fool, that decided to take on this matter, this amana, this trust of free will? No, not the polytheists, the idolaters and mushriks, mankind in general. The good and the bad of them, they all chose it. We all chose it. Every single one in this room chose it. Every single one of us chose it. And what does Allah say? And He has proven Himself to be unjust and ignorant. Unjust to Himself and ignorant of the results of what horrible thing that He decided to try to do. We all chose the hard way. But Allah offered you the easy way. The mountains and the earth and the heavens, they don't have to worry about the hellfire. They don't have to struggle for paradise. They don't have to worry about this. Not because there's no option for them. Because they don't have any disobedience to Allah, just like the angels. The angels don't have to worry about these things. Do the angels have to worry about being thrown and punished in the hellfire? No. They never disobey Allah. They don't have that ability. So we have to worry about that. Because we selected this road. Where am I going with all this? Does anybody, first, before we move on, does anybody think that if they had the chance, that they would like to go back and make a different choice? Or are you happy with your choice as a man, as a mankind? You're right, Quran and Sunnah. You have the right to choose, and you should choose the path of Allah, which He ordained. This is true. But who, right now, I would like to know who among you would like to go back and change his mind? So Khairiyya says, Khairiyya is one of them. Anyone else? Well, Stami says yes. Anita says she will give up her free will. Mama Muslimah, everybody. Anyone else? Quran and Sunnah, alhamdulillah. Anita would not change her mind. She likes the free will. Alhamdulillah. Yes, all this is good, mashallah, but the question here is, who wants to go back and change his mind? So, Nikki, you're happy with the ability to have free choice. You are happy that you are able to disobey or obey. No, I'm not asking you about going back and changing aspects of your life. I'm asking you about if you could go back to this moment when Allah offered the choice, this matter of free will to you, would you have said yes or would you have said no? Because Allah here is telling you what the mountains and the heavens and the earth did, and what mankind did, and what the result of it is. So who then would say, yes, I want free will. I want to prove myself to be ignorant and unjust. Do you guys understand the question I'm asking? I hope, inshallah, I'm not confusing anybody or losing you in this philosophy or this train of thought. What I understand from the majority of you here is that, Nikki, what I'm trying to say here is that in this verse, everybody just stop fighting for one moment and we'll repeat it, inshallah. We'll repeat it, so everybody stop fighting. Allah says in this verse in the Quran, okay, that there was a time that the matter of free will, the opportunity to obey or disobey. Quran and Sunnah, let's stop writing for a moment. No writing, no entering anything at this moment. Just let's listen. I want everybody to understand this point. It's a very important point. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Allah mentioned in this verse that there was a time when He offered free will to four entities. The four entities are the heavens, the earth, the mountains, and mankind. We understand from this verse is that the heavens, the earth, and the mountains, they said no. They said, we don't want it. What they were saying, okay, we want to further explain it, they're saying we don't want the opportunity or the option to disobey our Lord. We don't need to prove anything. We're quite happy obeying Allah, whatever He asks. But mankind wanted a challenge, and so they said, yes, we will take it. We will take this free will. We will take the option of disobedience or obedience to the will of God, to the will of Allah. We were willing to take it. And Allah said here that the result of that choice has been that He has proven, mankind has proven themselves to be unjust and ignorant. Because many of them will be thrown in the hellfire due to disobedience. And the ones that have obedience in their life, that they succeed, it's going to be a hard road. It's not going to be something easy. It's not going to be, you know, driving your Mercedes-Benz down a very nice smooth road lined with flowers with the sun shining. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not going to be an easy road. But we chose this road. So I'm asking you right now. There is a reason why I'm asking you. Don't read too much into the question, okay? I'm asking you the question right now is if you could go back to that moment that Allah was offering you this opportunity, would you have selected like the mountains and the heavens and the earth? In other words, would you have said, no, I don't want free will. And would you have said, yes, I will take this? That's what I want to know. Don't read any further than that. Just answer the question. And alhamdulillah, all of you have said basically the same answer. I don't think anyone in here has said yes, that I would like to be considered ignorant and foolish and this kind of thing. Okay? And so, mashallah, you're all on the same path, alhamdulillah. And this is a natural question, okay? Of course. This is a natural point, okay? This is all of us, of course, we don't want to disobey Allah. And unfortunately, we have the opportunity to disobey Him. In fact, we are tested routinely throughout the day. It's okay, alhamdulillah, no problem, mashallah, jazakallah khair. We are tested several times during the day. And we have the opportunity to disobey Him, and we do. We disobey Allah all the time. To the extent that Allah said in Surah An-Nahl and in other places, He said that if Allah was to take every person to account, Allah was to be just with you, He would not leave a single creature on the face of the earth. Why? Because we are unjust. We are ungrateful. Allah gave you so much, you can't even count it. But what do we give back to Him? Allah only asks you for something very simple. Don't associate anything with me. And that's the other verse I wanted to talk about from Surah An-Nisa. Because Allah says, Allah forgives all sins except one, that you should associate with Him. What's so hard about that? What's so hard about this issue? So let's take it back to the original discussion now. You have Jannah. Forget the Mercedes, forget the mansion. You have Jannah. Jannah, as you all know, the lowest person in Jannah will have more than what this world has to offer. Forget one Mercedes, you're talking thousands of them. Forget one ranch, you're talking any mansion you like. You want a mansion in the mountains, one on the beach, one in the desert, one in the, wherever it is. You have Jannah. Okay? You have in Jannah that which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard of, and has never even crossed upon the imagination of a human being. Never even crossed upon the imagination of a human being. This is what you have in Jannah. Not a house or a car. But you have something which you can't even imagine how much enjoyment you would have. Now, but there are two paths. There's path A and path B now. Okay? But unfortunately, you can't pick your path. Your path isn't selected for you. And guess what? Women, you have path A. And I will explain now. Path A is very simple. As we just described it. Path A is four or five things. What are those four or five things? I'll tell you. It is to testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, along with our partner, and the Muhammad as His messenger, and to stick to it. That's number one. And everybody here, alhamdulillah, they already did that step. Number two, make the five prayers every day, in time, and perfect them. And inshallah, I am sure all of you are doing that. Step three, fasting Ramadan, which, alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Ramadan. And I'm sure all of you are fasting and perfecting your fasting. So three things already down. Three of them down. What else you got left? For women, Hajj is not necessarily an obligation. Why? Because maybe you don't have the means. Right? And so Hajj is kind of one of the things that's kind of iffy for a woman. She may not have the means. She may not have a mahram or a guardian that can take her. Maybe she might have the money, but she doesn't have the guardian. So maybe she doesn't have that. Let up, possibly, zakat. Zakat, some women, they don't work. And so, what's zakat? They don't have any money to pay zakat. So, two things can be out. But you have to obey your husband. You have to obey him in that which Allah has permitted. That's it. That's the end of the story. There are no other obligations. None. Zero zip. except for, of course, in addition to obeying your husband, it's protecting your chastity and protecting the honor of the house, of course, you know. So you don't allow people into the house, and you don't, you know, talk with other men and you know, commit adultery, all this kind of thing. So we have five things: the testimony, the prayer, the daily prayer, the fasting of Ramadan, obeying the husband, and guarding your chastity. Five things, that's it. In certain cases, you can add two more, which is Hajj and the zakat, or the charity that is due upon you every month, every year, if someone has the money to pay it. Okay? That's it. Can anyone else tell me right now, from the Hadith of the Prophet or the verses of the Quran, what else the woman has to do? What if the woman stays in the house and never goes out? Does she have to represent? Well, you're right. Quran, so that's part of guarding her chastity. So that's it. Five things. 5 to 7. That's it. Of course, I mean, I'm not trying to limit this. I mean, there are some sub-points under these 5 points. We understand that, of course. Okay? Muslim, protecting the husband's property when he's away, this is part of the chastity. This is all part of her honor and the honor of the house. This is all, that's the point that I was saying. Just one moment, inshallah. So now, let's look at path B. Okay, we looked at path B, we said that's the shepherd walking through the mountains, 10 miles, gotta take care of everybody. Okay, what about the man? What does the man have to do? You think that this leadership position is so nice. I want it. I want to take control of the family. I want to be the maintainer. I want to be the protector. Why? Why someone else does it? I want it for myself, right? A lot of women say this. They feel it. Okay, here's what you get. Here's behind door number 2. If you had the opportunity to select it, you would get this. You would get, and you have to do 5 things to start. The 5 things to start are what? Number 1, the testimony of faith, saying that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger, praying 5 times a day. And on top of that, not just praying 5 times a day, but what? Praying 5 times a day in the masjid. You have to go to the masjid if you are a man. That's obligatory upon you. It's not something which is if you hear the adhan, if you hear the call of prayer from the masjid, you have to go. You must respond. Your prayer at home does not count unless you have a very good excuse. That's why I said, Momo, if you can hear the adhan, then you have to respond. Okay? So it's not just 5 prayers, but it's prayer in the masjid in a lot of places. You look at many Muslim countries where you hear the adhan for married and unmarried men. Both of them must go to the masjid. Okay, guys, don't write so much. So I think the writing sometimes takes away from the. If you have a really important point you want to make, please write. But otherwise, try to listen, inshallah. Okay? Imagine that every time you're writing, it's like interruption. So you have to pray in the masjid as a man. In many cases, okay? You know, here in the Western countries and the places which are not Muslim countries, you know, there's a lot of deficiency in this matter, okay? Okay, so you have to attend the prayer in the masjid. This is something a woman doesn't have to do. The fasting, okay? Fasting, you got to go out and work and fast as well. There's no excuse for you to, you know, you can't say, well, I'm working today, so I don't have to fast. No, you have to go out and work and fast. All the hard-earned money that you go out and work for, some of it you have to give away. The Hajj, as long as you've got the money, you're going to Hajj. There's no such thing as, I don't have a guardian, or I do have a guardian. You're going. You are obligated to go. Guess what? There's something else. Jihad. Jihad fi sabilillah. Jihad is fard kifaya in certain cases. Some people have to do it. Go for it. You got to do it too. Certain places, you need to go and make jihad. You need to fight for the poor and the oppressed, for those people who cannot defend themselves. You gotta go help them. Keep going. What else? You have to, again, we talk about the maintenance of the family. You have to take care of the home in terms of making sure you provide a suitable dwelling or a home for your family. You have to go out and make sure they have enough food to eat. You make sure that they have to have clothing that's suitable and acceptable. You have to make sure that they, when they get sick, that you get them the medicine. You have to make sure that they're educated. You have to be responsible for their education. You must make sure your kids are educated. You must make sure that your wife is educated. You can't just leave them. You have to educate them. We can go on and on and on and on. When you go out to the workplace, you got a lot of rules you got to follow at the workplace. You cannot work in the haram, you have to work in the halal. It's a battlefield out there, you all know it. A lot of haram things out there to maneuver. Sometimes you got to take a lesser paying job because it's halal. Because there's nothing forbidden in the job. So you're going to work harder for less money. Let me ask you this question. Who in here thinks that doing the dishes and ironing the clothes and laundry and making dinner, this is part of a woman's responsibility alone? Those of you that think it's part of the woman's responsibility, this is not right. It would be nice for men. It pleases your husband, okay? It pleases your husband. So what is this considered? It's considered something even better for you. This is a sadaqah for you. And in fact, we know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, used to do this thing himself. He used to take care of certain matters in the home. But one time, someone came to visit the Prophet ﷺ, they found him sewing his sandals. His wife wasn't sewing his sandals, he was sewing his sandals. He had 9 wives at some point. Why didn't none of them could sew it? Of course they could. But why was he doing it? Because it's not necessarily the woman's job. Did the Prophet ﷺ sometimes cook? Of course he did. If you're doing it because you want to please your husband, you want to make him happy, this is all extra credit for you. Can the woman say she doesn't want to cook? Fine. Just say that in the marriage contract. Before you get married, say, I don't want to cook. I don't like cooking. I don't like the kitchen. I don't have anything to do with it. And so if the man agrees, then that's it. It's part of the marriage contract. What's wrong with that? Some men, I know they like to cook. Yeah, you're right. You might be talking to it. but some people, subhanAllah, one of the brothers I know very well, he's a very nice brother, he likes to cook. He's a chef and he likes to cook. May Allah bless you, this is right. You're thinking about the ajr, this is the way you should be thinking, and that's why you like to do it. You do it with pleasure, you like to make someone happy, but this is, again, this is not your responsibility for you. We're not talking about responsibilities, we're talking about... Yes, you can type, Mickey. You're sure thing you can type. Ezra is reward. Ezra is reward. You cannot oblige your wife to cook if she says in the marriage contract that I don't want to do it. Okay? This is not part of her Islamic responsibility. If anyone disagrees with me, please show me where. Show me where this can be found in the Hadith of the Quran. I don't see it anywhere. I don't find that this is responsibility for women. The women, the Hadith of Allah Ta'ala is very clear. She's got those responsibilities you mentioned. Testimony, prayer, fasting. Well, you cannot oblige. You can say to her, she should obey you. Yes, in this case, if there's no contract, you can say to her, I would like you to cook. It's, in my opinion, it's part of your... I'm asking you to do it, and she has to obey you. Okay, if there's no contract, but women have to know that this is something. Your responsibility to your husband is to make him happy and to obey him. That's it. This is the generality of it, okay? So he can call you for anything which is permissible, which is halal, and you obey him. Just like your boss can ask you the same thing. He can ask you to make him a cup of coffee. He can ask you to go and run an errand for him. He can ask you to make copies for him. He can ask you this. He can ask you that. And you will do it for $500. So now do it for Jannah. That's what I'm telling you.